Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Peyton Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Also, a little extra paparazzi in the studio. She's not going to be on the mic, but we got her earphoned up. This is going to be a fantastic show. Lee, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast CEO and co-founder with Wella, Mr. Matt Reiner. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
Well, Matt, can you talk a little bit about Wella? What are you guys up to?
Yeah, so we are a financial technology platform that's focused on changing the way that financial advice is delivered, mainly for young families. We are looking to do that by positively changing financial behaviors by utilizing advanced technologies like machine learning and artificial intelligence to help not only provide a budget and analyze the budget, but help people proactively move forward to bettering themselves financially so that they can, you know, get out of debt, get into a better financial position today, and then be able to save more for tomorrow, whatever their goals are. And we like to do so in a different way of talking about it rather than just the traditional financial advice model that's been kind of out there for many of years.
So is this an app? Is it a website? Is it individual human-to-human communication? How does this work?
Yeah, so we have both an Android and an iOS app, and then we also have accessibility on the web. And what we've committed to is that the technology does a lot of work for the end user in terms of you can aggregate your accounts from over 13,000 institutions onto our platform. And then our technology, which we call Benjamin, he analyzes the information, sets up a financial plan for you, helps you set up for experiences such as traveling to Yellowstone or buying that new BMW, whatever it may be. And he aggregates all of that by analyzing your cash flow and gives you actually a budget, how we call it, as the daily spend limit. It's kind of like Weight Watchers for budgeting is how we usually explain it. Gives you one number that you can feel guilt-free spending no matter what on anything that you want. And it still allows for you to cover your core expenses and also cover all of your savings for your goals at the end of the month. But that was all done via our technology. And then we've actually merged a human element into there. So if you want to talk with a human advisor more about your situation, then the technology helps make that conversation a lot more efficient as well.
Now, in today's world, obviously, young people are very comfortable with technology and they like to, you know, interact with their phone and their apps and things like that. How do you compete against some of the larger players in the space that are going after this young millennial financial planning group?
Yeah, I think that there, you know, if you look at the evolution of the space, you know, you can go all the way back to the late 1800s with the Goldman Sachs of the world. But what you saw was, you know, every new player was just expanding the pie of who could be able to invest in the markets.
Right. And I mean, historically, this is financial advisors were going after the people who had a lot of finances. So they were going after middle-aged, wealthy people.
Yeah.
And now there's a push to go after younger people who may not have as much money today, but they're kind of investing in them in the long run.
And I think that what you see of the players that came out is that they made this whole industry really take a look at technology. But if you look at they're called robo-advisors. If you look at them like Wealthfront or Betterment of the world, and all they are really asset allocators. They help these young millennials allocate their assets. Our focus demographic is actually the young family. So it's a little bit older. And the reason that we focus on that and that's how we differentiate is that the young family has a little bit more of a complex situation. They're not just looking to save. They're looking to pay down debt, save for a new family, save for college, and also retire at that point in their life. And they usually are going through either buying a new home, a job change, whatever it may be. And so we utilize our technology to help solve some of those more complex problems as opposed to just solving one element of the overall financial plan, which is investing. We do that well, but our technology also does well on everything else to help kind of make a more holistic plan and view for that individual.
So you're looking at finances and financial planning more holistically rather than investing necessarily.
Exactly. I mean, investing is where we still make our money. That's the revenue stream. But we wanted to add more value to where we can create a brand where people can relate to us throughout the whole process from before they can invest up to when they can invest.
So now what's the onboarding like for a new family?
Yeah, so it's a freemium model. So you can sign up with just an email address and a phone number onto the platform. And then you asked a few other information for security purposes. And then you're able to link up your accounts. Like I said, from 13,000 institutions, we have a secure bank level security platform that allows for read-only access that allows us to do the analysis on the situation. You can add as many of accounts as you want, or you can add manual accounts. And then once you go through there, then Benjamin automatically, based on you just going through the first two steps, the email address and phone number, and then the second set of additional information, he sets up a budget for you. And then it refines as you tell us more information. And the idea with Benjamin is he continues to learn more about you. And then he also continues to learn more about people like you to refine your experience as you continue to engage with the platform.
So now, is it how does a product like Mint fit into this?
Yeah, so Mint, you know, Mint was the beginner of the aggregator, right? And I think what they do is a really great app. I think what we do a little bit differently from them, our aggregation is all the same, right? Those types of services are all the same. Now they're commoditized. They help you with a budgeting and they create, you know, this long list budget and they help you with goals. But where we're different is that we're looking more holistically at your whole situation and proactively providing you with goals as opposed to making you set the goals. Because what we found as we talked with our users was they don't know the questions to ask. So they just don't, they kind of sit on their hands. And then also the budget becomes really kind of convoluted because there's so many different line items. And we wanted to solve that problem and really provide you a proactive one number that you only had to remember. And every day you now know how your spending decisions impact these longer term goals that are sometimes hard to wrap your head around. And so we took a little bit of a different spin on it. And that comes from our background being in the wealth management space and working with hundreds of families before this with another wealth management firm that was on the traditional side before we started Wella ourselves.
So now when a family is working with Wella, you mentioned there's a limited human component. So they're kind of on their own, or your app or your website has a kind of questions that they're asking to kind of get more information to learn more about them so you can serve them, right?
Right.
So that's part of the...
And we're doing a lot of the information gathering based on what you've kind of told us via just some questions, and then also what you link up to the platform or aggregate onto the platform. And then if you want to move into the investing relationship, then we also have the ability for you to do a risk tolerance questionnaire where we help you do asset allocation. You can sign up and open your investment account and fund it all via that platform as well. It's as much do-it-yourself as you want. And then we know that money is emotional. And so that's why we created the human element as well.
Right. Now, as a family is putting in there and you're helping them with their goals, are the typical goals, you know, I want to save for a house, I want to save for retirement, and I want to, like, what is it, the usual suspects in this regard as well?
Yeah. And we, it's a lot of the usual, right? We have our core goals, right? Of saving for emergency reserve, saving for retirement, paying down debt, you know, high interest rate debt. And what we try to do, especially with a lot of our content marketing, because we're trying to change the perception of the industry and change how we communicate financial advice. The financial advice itself won't change, but how we communicate it can be more relatable and engaging. And we try to focus on experiences that are short-term in nature that help try to change those behaviors. Because how we determine if whether a user is engaged or not is not whether they log into our app every day, but are they actually changing their financial behaviors by being able to save more? And what we've found from a mental psychological standpoint is that if we can help them save for things that they want, then after they accomplish that goal, whether it's a trip in 6 months or a car in a year, then they're going to continue to have those habits, which then allow for us to communicate with them on some of these broader level topics that are sometimes, for some of our users, a lifetime away because it's 30, 35 years away and they've only lived for 30 years at that
right.
point in time.
It's hard for them to even imagine.
They can't comprehend it. So we have to make it comprehensible.
Now, are you using some of the kind of the nudge techniques where you're trying to create like small changes?
Yeah, everything's on a small change behavior standpoint, right? And it starts by creating awareness, right? So we have to help create awareness for the situation and be proactive. Not only just give them awareness, but help them give them guidance on how they can change that right away. And it started with the daily spend limit. When it comes to a budget, you talk to a lot of people and they say they have a budget, but it's usually in their head and they have a mental calculation of it, but nothing's really tracking it.
Right. It's like you said about the diet. Like if you're keep a track of your calories or Weight Watchers, you
right.
got to keep track of the points or else it doesn't work.
Right.
And if you're not assessing, you're guessing, and that usually people guess wrong.
And that's the problem with the budget. Everybody sets it at the beginning of the year. By February, they've long shot because it's like, oh, I accidentally spent too much here
right.
and now I'm blowing out this category.
Next year, I'll start
yeah,
again.
Yeah, I'll start it again. And so I think that the first step is how can we change their perception on their budget? And if we give them this one number that, you know, if it's $125 a day that I can spend guilt-free and it rolls over if I don't spend it, well, I know that if I go downstairs and buy a sandwich, then my app will update and say, now I have $100. And I know that if I go to Best Buy and there's a set of earplugs or whatever, earphones, whatever, for $125, I can't buy it today. And you have this ongoing, consistent awareness, which helps change these behaviors. And so we're trying to work on that right now. And then we continue to implement those nudge techniques over time.
So now, how long has the app been around?
So we started working on it in 14, and we did a lot of beta testing in 15, and then we launched it in the version that it is today at the beginning of 2016.
So now, how much, you know, you have success stories now? Are you seeing people that have affected change?
Yeah, we're starting to see people's net worth change, right? We're starting to see people that are saving more and starting to talk more about daily spend limit, which is really great. And I think that those success stories of seeing traction in terms of net worth growth and reduction in some of these liabilities that they came into our platform with is really exciting for us to see.
Now, do you have any kind of raving fan users that are all like, this is all they can think of? Because like, I would imagine it brings out, because there's a gamification element of this internally, so that I'm sure some super fans kind of bubble up from this.
Yeah, you know what? As we started the business, we've learned a lot, especially as we started this this app, the technology side of the business. And so one of the things that we didn't yet learn until recently was the gamification and how to create those raving, loving fans. And so we actually have started to implement a lot more different types of challenges and point systems and a badge system into the platform. And we're launching it slowly because we have some B2B customers as well. Mm-hmm. And we are starting to implement this gamification aspect of it. And so it's not in there yet, but
it's on the roadmap.
It's on the roadmap to get there.
Now, you mentioned B2B customers. How do you serve the B2B market?
So we utilize the technology that we use to build Benjamin with the whole financial planning aspect and goal planning and view into today's actions and how they impact these longer term actions. And we built on top of that to create a financial wellness program for businesses that are really 50 employees up to 500. Our goal is to get above 500. But it's a whole financial wellness program that's based off of metrics that are identified on the problems and the stressors that the employees are having. So we do a whole survey of the employees before we go in. We analyze that and we deliver that, not any specific information, but high-level company-wide information to the CEO, CFO, head of HR. And then we set metrics to show how we're going to change behaviors using challenges and gamification and badges and such. So we had the financial wellness, and then we also launched a small business 401k for startup plans and for companies under 50 employees that use the same technology.
Now, is the platform useful to the owner of the business to help them get the business's financial house in order?
So not necessarily there. It's more geared towards helping to reduce stress of your employees and mm-hmm. increase production or productivity.
Maybe your next app can do that.
Well, let's get this thing right first, and then we'll go that route.
So now, how has being in Atlanta impacted your business? Because Atlanta's pretty good when it comes to fintech.
Yeah, I think that it's been great in terms of the connections that we've been able to talk through. And I think that Atlanta is a big payment center, right? It's a big, it's fintech in terms of...
People don't understand, realize how much financial information is kind of going in and around the city.
Yeah. And I think there's a ton on the payment side. And I think us coming in on the wealth management side, we're still kind of on our own a little bit, which is not a bad thing. But the, you know, the tag community and the fintech community over at ATDC and everywhere there has been really helpful to introduce us to the right people. And I think what's really big here is, you know, the banking sector and the community banking sector and the credit union space. And we really look at that space as potential partners down the road of utilizing the financial wellness platform for their customers and for
have to build it out. They can just kind of use yours.
Yeah. And I think that that's where we're excited about in this space. I think we had to spend our first couple of years finding our footing and learning what we wanted to be when we grew up. And now we're able to really take advantage of the great growth in the fintech space that Atlanta has going forward as we continue to grow.
Now, is that something that is maybe on your roadmap a little sooner, is partnering with these kind of community banks and the smaller regional players?
Yeah, we are working on a couple partnerships right now with some people in the financial services space, not necessarily in Atlanta, but across the country. And our goal is to continue to build out those relationships, especially here in Atlanta with the community banking sector. So whether it be the data analysis that we're able to do based on the aggregated information to the budgeting, to the proactive aspect of helping banks, you know, utilize some information to help get more people to use them for mortgages and consolidations and stuff of that nature.
Now, I'm curious, maybe you know the answer to this. How many community banks is that a big, are there a lot of community banks?
I don't know the exact number, but there is a good number. I mean, that's one of the challenges with, kind of centralizing data within the banking area, because if you look at the challenges with fintech companies and these aggregation companies is that you're aggregating information from over, 15, 20,000 institutions, financial right. institutions. So it's hard to create a common language to help communicate that, or a central API to communicate that to other companies. They're doing that over in the EU because they don't have as many banks. Right. Here, it's hard for us to do that. So you have, it's a little bit harder to get the access to that data or allow the users to provide access to other companies to that data.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your background. How did you kind of get into this world?
Stumbled upon it. No. So my dad built a traditional wealth management company here in Atlanta, started about 23 years ago. And so I grew up in the space of wealth management. I'm still a partner over at that company. It's still going strong. My brother and one of our other business partners are running it day to day over there. And so I grew up in that business and I started on that side and we saw a problem.
You're the rebel.
And I was the rebel. They call me the rebel or the one that just picked the short straw that moved over into the startup world.
You're the black sheep of the
family. Yeah, exactly. Like, get out of here. So we saw a problem within that business of serving the mass affluent and the mass market with the young families as we continue to see our minimums move up. And it's become harder and harder to make the young family profitable because they have a challenging situation, but they don't necessarily have enough assets to make money off of it.
Right.
And so we committed to building technology, even though we never built technology before. We committed to building technology to make it more efficient and profitable. And we've kind of grown and learned and taken our lumps along the way.
Now, how did you build your team?
Connections within the Atlanta market. So we started with a mutual connection that knew someone that could help build technology. And if you would have seen our first iteration of this platform, it was somewhat of a joke now that we look back on it. And it was a lot of just connecting with the startup community. We moved over to the Atlanta Tech Village and we work out of there. And that allowed us to become in the scene on the technology side. And from there, we just started meeting more people. And some of my biggest mentors in the technology side came from random one-off conversations of introductions. And one of those mentors helped me, get our new CTO, our new chief technology officer. That's allowed us to continue to expand our company even greater in our technology. And it's been a lot of luck, to say the least. So I think that's
the beauty of Tech Village is that those kind of collisions can occur. And because you're in and around people that are passionate and creative and technical.
Yep. And everybody understands what you're going through, right? There's a lot of success stories over there that's been great. There's a lot of people that have had really tough struggles over there. And there's a lot of people that may not have made it, but they all understand kind of the challenges that you're facing. And the beauty of that is that they're all open to helping in whichever way. They may not help execute, but they can help connect. And that's what you need help with.
Now, for that person that meets your profile, the young family that meets your profile, any tips that you can give them investing, maybe not investing, but just kind of financial planning tips that can help them?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing just to take away from kind of the back of the napkin, if you want to just get going and change yourself financially, starting today, is a kind of an acronym we use called taxes, savings, and life. And the idea is if you look at your gross income, let's call it, $50,000, whatever it may be, that you would put 30% of that gross income towards taxes, so about $15,000 towards taxes a year. And that includes your federal, state, property, all of your taxes that you incur throughout the year. Then you would put 20% towards savings. So now you right away know how much you should try to be saving every year. So that'd be about $10,000. And then you live off of 50%. And if you can live off of 50% of your gross income, then you're going to find yourself in a great situation going forward to where you're going to see your savings grow over time. And that's something that you can do right away, just to get started.
And so that kind of rule of thumb is good for young people.
Yeah. And the challenge with young people is that, and what we see on our platform too, because we have a lot of young people that have linked up accounts and you see the challenges that they're going through. And a lot of them are credit card debt and a lot of them are student loan debt. And there's a misconception of these individuals that they feel that they have enough for an emergency, but they really don't. And they're just going to build up credit card debt and they think it's sometimes free money. And so, you know, that 20% that goes towards savings, you know, you would use some of that to go towards paying down your high interest rate debt, whether you use the snowball method or the avalanche method, whichever method of your desire. I would take some of that 20% and move it towards your debt.
But you're agnostic with those kind of systems, right?
Yeah.
You're everybody's friend when it comes to debt reduction.
Yeah. I mean, debt reduction is mainly just, it goes back to awareness. It's an awareness of where you're spending your money and how, what you need to spend and what you don't mm-hmm. need to spend, and getting some type of execution strategy. Budgeting hasn't really been innovated on for hundreds of years, right? And it's about time that we, and everybody always complains that they can't stick to a budget. So it's about time we innovate on a budget to have it somewhat as a something that can be followed through.
Right,
on.
That kind of set it and forget it.
Exactly.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way?
Getwella.com is where you can go.
Wella is W-E-L-A.
Yes, G-E-T-W-E-L-A.com. You can also find us, all of our videos. So changing the way financial advice is delivered is changing the perception, changing how we communicate the information. We try to make it engaging. It's tough to make financial advice fun, so we try to make it engaging and simple and relatable. And so we have multiple different web series that we do that aren't just tailored towards financial advice, but help you get to know us as people. You can find all of those on YouTube and on Facebook. YouTube under Wella and Facebook under Your Wella.
Very nicely done, Matt. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. And I'm definitely going to go check out those videos.
There you go. That's all Marissa. Marissa here is the queen of the videos.
All right. Well, we're going to go see your work, Marissa. That formula that you mentioned, does it equally apply to people in other age brackets or does it shift a little bit?
Yeah, the beauty of that formula is that whether you get a raise or you get a demotion or you lose your job or whatever it may be, it's something that you can do right away in your head. And so as you continue to grow in your profession and make more income, it just continues to go with you. And it's a kind of a fluid formula that continues to grow.
And so even if you have like Lee Cantor pockets and still though, when you go and you start to invest in the stock market, that kind of thing, the general advice of buy low, sell high, does that still apply?
Yeah. If you know when it's low, when you know when it's high, right? If you can predict that, you won't be here though.
So your app doesn't ring a bell?
Yeah. Well, it does. It buzzes all day. It says, I think it's low or I think it's high. Yeah.
Well, it's been a real pleasure having you in today, man. Hey, can you hang with us while we visit with our next guest?
Definitely. I'll stay here. Yep.
All right. Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show this afternoon, we have with us two folks from Northridge Vista. We have the community director, Claudia Newsom, and assistant community director, Robert T. Martin. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us. We are so happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you. Now, Claudia, you weren't here at the very beginning, but to remember to talk right at the very end of the microphone, just to rock star it.
Yes, okay.
I just have a feeling you're going to take to it really well. You look like you could just walk up on stage right now.
So,
Claudia, your community director, what does a community director do at a place like Northridge? Lay it on us.
Wow. Well, I build teams. And right now, Northridge Vista, because it's a new development, that's something. So I work a lot with construction and building my team. So my assistant and my leasing staff and working with maintenance and construction. So I have my hands in a lot. And then, of course, just managing the day-to-day property for the owner.
Is the property open?
It is open.
So
yes.
You're leasing right now?
We are. So we had our first move-ins the beginning of May 1st of this year, and we're just kind of going strong. We still have two more buildings one is actually half open, mm-hmm. one is fully open, the other two are still coming online, but you know, people are moving in them daily.
Yes, we have been leasing honestly like crazy. We opened up about 2.5 months ago. We have about 45 residents right now. We are pre-leasing. The property is absolutely gorgeous. We pretty much sit on top of a hill. And then you pretty much don't hear a lot of roadway traffic. So that's why I always like to tell people, if you're looking for a quiet place after work, definitely Northridge Vista is the way to go for a new home.
Now, where are you looking?
Yeah, we're located right off of 400, exit 6.
Exit 6, and then on which side of 400?
So, right off of Dunwoody Place.
Okay.
So, Northridge Parkway is just off of Dunwoody
what
Place.
What exit is this?
Where exit we are. 6. Oh.
Where we, you and I
we're 5.
So, it's just right up the street.
Straight up the street.
Okay. Oh, and I forgot to ask you, Claudia, how much money do you spend a day? Because I know Matt's going to win.
Oh, yes. I was listening to Matt. I said, wow, I might need to connect there because I think I blew my budget.
And who typically is your target renter? Is it a young person, millennial, or who typically is going to live there?
So typically we have a lot of professionals. We are gearing toward a lot of the corporate offices, the new corporate offices that are currently just established. So such as State Farm we're looking at that just built their corporate office here.
Sure.
Also Mercedes corporate office. So definitely we have a lot of professionals and also young professionals as well. But definitely we are open to the public. Anyone is more than welcome to tour with us.
And then you have what size apartments?
So we have 1 and 2 bedrooms. We have 3 different styles in our 1 bedrooms and then 5 in our 2 bedrooms. But they are spacious. There's 10-foot ceilings. There's granite countertops. I mean, some people come in and say, this is better than my house. So if they're looking, some people, if they're selling a home, you know, and now they're looking to just live in a luxury community and not have to do all that maintenance. So
now, any amenities that we should know about?
Absolutely. We have a full fitness center, which is huge. In a resort-style pool, there's a bocce ball court. We have fire pits.
Bocce
ball. Yes.
We're going after a certain crowd. Right. The bocce ball crowd.
That's right. And yoga space. So we have outdoor yoga space. So if you want to come in and do outdoor yoga, we have that as well.
And even to add to that point, our fitness center is unbelievable. We have a staircase master in there. Mm-hmm. So every time we give a tour, we honestly say, you can get rid of your LA Fitness membership because this fitness center is unbelievable.
There goes our LA Fitness sponsorship. Yeah, right.
Thanks, Robert. Now, are you near kind of stuff to do?
Absolutely. We most definitely are. A lot of questions that we always get is how far are you from the grocery store?
Right.
Most definitely.
Sounds like a Lee question.
I would want to know that.
So we have Kroger that's literally right next door to us. You honestly can walk there. We also have a Publix that's 2 minutes away for driving distance. There is a lot of stuff to do. We're very close to Avalon. Still very close to, if you wanted to be in the Buckhead area, we're only about 15 minutes away. Like I mentioned, we're right off of 400.
Like when you say right off of 400, like...
Literally, when you get off of 400, you can just
come
around. So I
can be on the highway and then I'm off and I can be anywhere then.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're going into Buckhead, you can even just go into the perimeter area. Also, downtown Canton Street's maybe 10 minutes. So anything where you're looking to maybe do some outdoors things, there's within 15 minutes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So your circle of life, within 15 minutes, you can do a lot of stuff.
Which is the reason the property was built there. I mean, a lot of people want to live outside of this city, but still be able to be
to
close
get there
to events.
In 15 minutes.
Absolutely.
You're probably 15 minutes from Buckhead, right?
We are.
Like from the Lenox exit, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. That's
probably
15
exactly.
minutes.
But even aside from everything that's surrounding us, we even are building a community within our property as well. Mm-hmm. So essentially, we have Wine Down Wednesday every single Wednesday today.
Did you say wine?
Yes, like, I did.
With an E or a D?
With an E. Yeah. And also, we
can
want
anybody
you...
show up?
Yes. Right. Anybody. Come by, Matt.
Come by.
Matt's in.
So we have Wine Down Wednesday every single Wednesday. And we do that just so we can meet our residents. And also, the residents can meet their neighbors as well. So like I said, we're building a community. We also had a 4th of July event. 2 Saturdays ago, we had Chick-fil-A where we were serving breakfast, orange juice, fruit. And we just do that just so we can essentially build a community with our residents.
And then how close are you to like mass transit? Is there mass transit around you?
So you're right after, you're just going to go, actually before you get to exit 5. So when you're going down Georgia 400 going south, you'll have the, I think it's maybe Dunwoody train station.
Right, there's a train station. I knew. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if it was that exit or the one after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're close to everything.
Yes.
Now, so right now you're just getting the word out and you need more people to lease there? Are you looking to hire more?
Absolutely.
What do you do?
No.
What are you
doing? Well, I am looking for a full-time leasing consultant. So yes, that would work too. But yes, I mean, anybody who's just looking for a new home, because we're off the path, a lot of people, you won't just find us if you're just driving up the street, Roswell. So definitely if someone's looking for a 1 or 2 bedroom, looking to make a change, we're there. And if they want a brand new luxury community, definitely.
And this is brand new from scratch? You guys are
building this? Oh, yes. We're still under construction.
So you didn't take over an existing one and put a new name on it?
No. Mm-mm.
So this is brand new?
Brand new.
So literally, they are the first person in their apartment.
Oh, that's got to be very attractive. So I'm operating under the impression that most people are not professional renters, and they don't necessarily know what questions to ask. What are things that we should look for or remember to ask when we're touring a property that you know, some folks might leave out of their tour.
I think the number one question would honestly be the management staff. A lot of times people struggle with their management staff in terms of getting work orders completed just because the management staff isn't responsive. I honestly can say that we are a great team, that we definitely are here to get the job done. We're here to make sure that our residents are happy and the best of our ability. So I think a lot of times that question sometimes can be missed in the tour because you see all these amenities, you see all this beautiful stuff, but there's more things outside of that that can be a problem for residents. So I think that would be the number one question, and we definitely do offer at Northridge Vista.
Well, I'm personally really enamored with the idea that you're also building community, and maybe there are certain activities that if I lived there, I would want to engage in. I have, you know, a 24-year-old and 19-year-old daughter. They might want to engage in other activities, but it sounds like you guys have made the commitment to put some energy into really for the care and feeding of the people that are there. So what are some of the things that you have in the works, you think, for that?
Absolutely. So what we have in the works are more events. That's definitely something that we like to focus on because we like the residents to be able to meet us and to also get to know their neighbors as well. Also, what we'll be having at a later date is our grand opening, where essentially all will be involved in that in terms of the ribbon cutting and just enjoying that time together, because essentially we built this thing from the ground up. So it's beautiful to see the finishing touches and just to see how we literally, Claudia walks all the construction. So she's seen every single part of how this thing has came together. So I think that's just amazing that we honestly have put our hands on this and watched it from the foundation and then all the way to the roof.
Well, one idea that comes to mind, and it's just because Matt's in the room and it may or may not work for this particular thing, but do you envision maybe ever bringing people in for some kind of education, enrichment? Do you have a facility for that?
Yes, absolutely we do. Our clubhouse is spacious enough where, because I'm a part of the Sandy Springs Chamber as well, just bringing those people in to bring knowledge to the residents. So there won't just be events where we're having outdoor yoga or we're having parties.
Well, you got to have your Margarita Monday. I mean, that's table stakes.
Exactly.
But to have somebody like a Matt or whatever to come in and for my youngest, and as soon as her lease is up, I'm going to have her talk to you.
Good
deal. But my youngest, I would be thrilled to know that this week sometime she were going to go down to like the community room or whatever. And somebody like a Matt was going to come in and do a brief talk or whatever and provide some ideas for a tool for managing our money. And Mike Kelly is one that would eat that up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's the right thing or not, but
That's something that we would do. Being now that we have enough residents to involve them and say, hey, on Thursday, we're going to have Matt from, you know, this place to come in and you learn about your finances for about an hour. And then we may provide the refreshments for them. And so you will have people who will come down to do those things. Absolutely. Because now it's not just where they live for 12 months, but they're looking to, as Robert has stated, build the community, but also learn something while they're there as well. Absolutely. And have fun.
So what's it like working together? Have you guys figured out how to divvy up the labor?
Most definitely. So we are a 3-man property so far. We are looking for a full-time leasing agent as well. We have a leasing agent, Todd, who had to stay today so we can have the fun here with you all. But it has been fun in terms of, you know, like I said, just having that hands-on labor and seeing the property grow. Most definitely, we have delineated the work so that it's not too much on Claudia and it's not too much on myself. Majority of our objective is to definitely get the leases so we can be able to have people like yourself, Matt, to be able to come to our property and have people that actually enjoy, that knowledge that you would give, most definitely.
So, Lee, are you and Abby up for this lifestyle shift? As you guys, empty nesters, right?
Almost, but not yet. I have to talk to Matt to see when I'm ready for it.
Y'all are making me sound a lot more knowledgeable. I appreciate that a lot. Made me feel real good coming in.
It's for Marissa's benefit. All right. So if somebody wants to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
Absolutely. So you can find us on our website at www.northridgevista.com. We are actually on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We update that constantly. We are a very millennial type of company in terms of getting the word out there.
Good stuff. So they can go to the website and they can schedule a tour if they want. They can come by.
Absolutely. And we'd love to talk on the phone. So please call us. Definitely you can set up a tour with us on the phone. You can email us. Either way, that would be great.
Well, thank you both for coming and telling us about this. We'll definitely have to check it out. I'll definitely let Kelly know about it. This was a fun show. Marissa, you were perfect. I don't think you made a single mistake during the entire show. Lee, this is a fun way to invest a Wednesday afternoon, isn't it?
I think so.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest this afternoon, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.